That guy was on the soap opera for a while.
Would that be like necrophilia now?
Which one? Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, what's his name?
Danny Trejo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was running the bar when Victor was down in Mexico. I pointed that out.
Like recently?
Yeah.
Wow, Trejo was in
Y&R.
Young and the Restless.
Recently.
Like 3 months ago.
Oh, okay.
For like a guest stint on like 3 episodes.
No, it was more than way.
Because
like
you think that anyone who watched that show would be like, oh, it's Danny Trejo.
I did that.
But you normally watch that show and you're not the demographic they're going for.
Absolutely not.
So Rob Zombie leads to daytime television.
Yeah.
Burt Gummer was on the soap opera. Baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we got a good old crowd. Zach will make it. We got a little crowd. We're going to talk about Jody Hill's second film, Observe and Report, which is one that he solely wrote and directed.
Cock.
If you see. And then there's things like that. We got Seth Rogen sort of taking over as the main guy rather than old what's his name?
Who's this cute tripod?
In it for short. Isn't it great?
It's pretty cute.
It's nice. I know. It's cute because it's tiny. So
you should get it shoes.
I don't know.
Are you gonna get a plaque of that and put that on your wall? It's cute because it's tiny and hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will.
Excite perspective.
I'm thinking that. Buyers. I'll put it on my headboard. Okay. So Observe and Report. Seth Rogen kind of doing something a little different. He's playing somebody else's rules. Different kind of comedy. Not the Judd Apatow style, where it's fraught with a bunch of pop culture references. I don't think there were any. They didn't even do a Dirty Harry reference or something when they were at the shooting gallery. And I know it was good.
It's higher comedy.
It's definitely higher comedy. I much prefer it, I think. I prefer that it's kind of. I don't know, the characters seem more real.
Yet you had serious problems.
Well, I mean, you know, I had problems with aspects of it, but I still enjoyed it. Yeah, sure.
You had Ian-esque problems with this production.
Let's say. So why don't you take us on a journey that is this film, Observe and Report.
So this movie is about this cop, small cop, head of mall security, who has
bipolar.
Bipolar, has delusions. He's delusional. He wants to.
He wasn't delusional. He's had delusional. Dreams. Everybody has dreams.
Yeah, but the psych report said he was delusional. So that's where I'm getting that from. From the actual text of the movies, where you
his dream was delusional, where he saved the day and destroyed everything, and stood above everybody, and they looked up at him. Yes. That's textbook delusions of
and
grandeur.
Really, you know, when he starts talking about wasting everybody, you kind of picture him taking out the kids.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. He was talking about shooting the kids and everybody
because they were turning into demons from the pus-filled clouds.
So then Ronnie, he's got a thing for. This girl at
Randy.
The mall.
Anna Faris.
Randy, yeah, and she's a jerk. And then there's a flasher who starts off the movie by showing people his wang. And Ronnie decides he's going to take over, but some cops get called in, specifically Ray Liotta.
Mm-hmm.
A cop gets called in.
Ray Liotta's the best part of that movie.
You think so?
Because they actually have a detective investigating this, which is
totally that was another thing. And then when they had the robbery, like he came for that too. Like a detective wouldn't investigate that stuff.
And then they brought an army of police officers to take down Ronnie.
Yeah. So Ronnie goes and has a series of misadventures where he thinks he's going to become a cop, and then he's trying to prove himself, and then he
finds out he couldn't cut the mustard.
Yeah.
Which is strange, because he was a badass. I mean, it kind of took you by
surprise.
That
was the unbelievable part, really.
I found it thoroughly believable. He was he was physically dominant.
Against those guys, the crackheads or whatever, the crack dealers.
That's the premise.
So where you keep your throwing stars.
You just kind of glossed over the whole penis part, though.
Well, there's a lot of penis in the end of it. Male. A
whole lot of cock.
Male penis. Not female penis. Don't be confused.
So, yeah.
You got, you know, the one thing you have to lay out there is that guy. Literally, fucking A, man. Balls.
Yeah?
The guy had him. He sported him.
Yeah, totally.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that
maybe
guy.
But if you were really drunk,
was very small.
That was a proud, honest man who just went out there and someone said, "Hey, do you want to show your genitals in my movie?" And he said, "Absolutely, without question."
And it's not like
you're saying
you know,
like you were there.
You know,
I was there.
McGregor kind of thing.
You didn't recognize me with a trench coat on. So anyway, it was so far better than The Foot Fist Way, which is Jody Hill's first movie.
It was similar in that
the main characters are both delusional people, but yeah. Danny McBride always plays that kind of character.
Yeah, he does.
And Rogan generally, I mean, this was a tiny bit of a departure for him, not much, because he still dominates with his type of dialogue.
Just using the F word all the time.
Yeah, he swears a lot. He has some good lines, and he definitely plays more of a... he's less smart than his usual characters. Normally his characters, even when they're dumber people, in that they're always making pop culture references and stuff, they're intelligent-ish. He just chooses not to do anything with this. He expects that he's a loser. In this one, he actually is a loser.
And there's really no... it doesn't have that Apatow lesson learned... closure, you know, his drunk mom is still a drunk mom at the end, and nothing has really changed for him, really.
But he's accepted that, and he's happy with it.
Does this movie have any symbolism towards America's current crisis?
I guarantee you it has none.
Not
intentional.
I'm sure I could find it. Nicole and the boys at N+1 will find it for us, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh.
People, what was everybody's thoughts about Observe and Report?
I don't want to fully spout how much I loved it until I hear everyone say how much they hated it, because I know Ian hated it.
I didn't hate it,
and he's going to give it his usual slightly positive grade.
You're going to argue that all the flaws were good because they worked for it.
I didn't find many flaws in this.
It was perfectly crafted.
Well, the thing is, it's a comedy, and it was very well crafted for a comedy, and especially from a technical standpoint, one of the better technically made comedies I've seen.
There's this area where you have the total screwball comedies, like, say, Dumb and Dumber, which I never really liked, and then you had the very dark comedies. Didn't like it.
You didn't like Dumb and Dumber?
I didn't.
What about Tommy?
I haven't seen that one. We covered that last week.
Tommy Boy.
We
Tommy
can put
Boy
that
good.
To rest. That was set. It's put to rest. But, you know, they kind of mesh in the middle, and it, you know, sometimes just doesn't really work. And in this case, I didn't feel like it really worked. I mean, there are moments I laughed, but I'll never watch it again.
I have to agree with you. It did have that slapstick aspect, but then it tried to be sort of dramatic in places. It tried to be like a more intelligent comedy, like we were saying, like, which is sort of the direction they're going in. And you give it credit for that. And it was very well executed, and it was very well made, and you did kind of care about the characters and everything. But then they throw in things like these ridiculous fight sequences. It's almost like something out of Family Guy where, you know, it's dirt to dirt to dirt, and then all of a sudden, because it's an animation, they throw in a ninja fight.
Well, when he shot that guy at the end, that was pretty silly.
Well, that was awesome.
That was plain.
That was stupid.
That was violent, really. Because
that was plain violent. That was like awesome. RoboCop violent.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can see taking the side of that being kind of cool, but there's just so much stuff in it. It doesn't do enough of that for you to not give it... for you to just say, okay, that's the kind of movie it is.
No.
If it did more of that, I would be fine with it. Instead,
it was shock value.
It tries to, but then it...
A fat guy run around, flopping his dick around for way longer. I mean, they just wrote that one out.
Yeah, totally. They did it in slow motion, too, so it's just so you can see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's total shock value.
Absolutely.
I don't have a problem with that, per se, but...
No,
you know.
I don't. I just feel like... It's a movie that's sort of so entrenched in sort of the depressing, real life humdrum quality.
Was incredibly sad.
But then you throw in things like
him being kicked the shit out of by like an army of cops.
Yeah.
But he demolished them before they all got
did,
it. That was
with
awesome.
His flashlight.
That was ridiculously awesome.
It was
like Samurai Jack.
Totally.
Yeah. It was very awesome, but it didn't work in the movie. You know, it was like I could appreciate the sequence.
It was a little bit much.
And the execution, but it didn't make sense.
I mean, those cops would run at him, and they would just like get hit, like throw their face at him, so they could hit it.
Right, because real cops, that wouldn't happen.
And they have tasers too, so they would have just done that. I mean,
guns would have been drawn in that situation by that point.
Yeah, definitely. And the whole thing with the crack dealers, like it all felt very like it was trying to be some sort of weird fable or something. Like it was all in his head, but then they never really played that out. So I feel
I was like Rocky, man. I was waiting for him to, you know, light the torch and run up the stairs. And
No. It played with that, and then it tried to be more serious and be like, no, look, we've dashed his hopes, and look at the crying on the steps, realism.
I don't think they ever tried to
and then we'll turn serious. Around and get ridiculous about it.
I thought they were going to make Ray Liotta.
They never went completely serious. They just flirted with it, which is always, you know, it's kind of like the best way I can sum up this movie is in the beginning in the parking lot scene, and it's literally making you like. It was making me dizzy. You guys probably... I think you missed it, but do you remember...
I saw the whole movie.
You saw the whole thing? The camera work in the beginning.
Yeah.
And how it's just...
From one to the next, to the next, to the next.
Right, which you're not supposed to do, because it makes people... It didn't make you dizzy?
Not really, but it started... I could see that, but...
I was waiting for it to end, because it was, like, going to give me a headache. If it lasted, like, another minute or two, I would have had to have whipped away.
So you're rating it on the physiological effects of it.
A movie that'll make me throw up, not going to give it a high mark.
So you didn't like Blair Witch Project?
That movie was terrible.
Blair Witch Project made me sick. I don't remember any camera work like that in that movie.
In Blair Witch?
Yep.
It's all like that, except for worse.
I think for what it tried to do, you got to give it a lot of credit. For what it managed to do... You give it some credit, and but then just those other sequences—they were awesome as sequences, the fight sequences. But they just didn't work in the movie for me. They didn't make sense.
The Asian dudes worked for me,
and you know, so the what worked for you?
The twins.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole
the guy from Friday Night
Good
Lights.
Morning Vietnam yeah. kind of thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. The characters were all pretty cool and fun and different and whatever, but. Just aspects of the story, the way that they wrote it, felt like doctored and forced and didn't, you know, like if they wanted to go more absurd with it, I would have loved it. And but then they had to throw in ridiculous crap that they throw in every movie. Like they had to give him some other girl that you know would put up with his bullshit.
Of course, you're gonna have the bad girl that he wants and the good girl that's for him. I mean,
I know, but
that's not really unheard of.
She, why was she?
You could tell her retarded was just by looking at her eyes. She was just like
she was kind of.
You had to start to wonder, you know, the back.
Definitely oatmeal above the eyebrows on that one for sure. But but it was there for him, and he wasn't. He didn't deserve much better. So honestly, that's that. But
she really.
But it's just the way people behaved in it doesn't quite work, and I don't know, I don't like the lesson in that. I guess, but
was the lesson?
As a film, the lesson
I didn't learn anything.
Lesson, yeah, exactly. It really is kind of a nihilistic take.
The flashlight's the best.
Don't flash people at the mall; he might get shot.
So I don't know. I think I'll give it a 3 because I wanted to like it more. When I thought it was going
a
in the
5?
Direction, when I thought it was going to go in the direction of like Taxi Driver, but as a comedy, I was really liking it.
It was the direction of Taxi Driver,
but it didn't quite. The conclusion and everything was too. You know,
it just
like,
didn't end up with
like,
enough dead people for you to be a good Taxi Driver.
Exactly, it ended like Copland. Which I like, but, you know, it didn't make sense for that movie to, this movie to end by Copland. So I give it a 3 out of 5.
Copland. Sorry.
No, Copland.
Come on, go around. Everyone, give your take.
Third set.
What's your take?
I'll take it.
Nice. Good take.
Mark?
Was it worth $8.75?
No.
Okay, there we go. So you get
plus
what,
the ads at the beginning.
A 2?
That's why Zach always gets there like, right when the movie starts and misses all the ads.
I like to miss the ads.
The Pepsi ads and stuff.
And the ads to advertise going to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous. But that's the way the world is
now. It's filler. It's because they're lazy.
Buttered popcorn,
they
jelly
need to
bellies.
Hire Ian. You should like, you know, yeah.
Marketing genius that is Ian.
I'm sure. So what you give it is out of 5 stars, how many stars would you give it?
You can use halves. We've determined halves
quarters.
Are all right.
Quarters?
Yeah, quarters. I think quarters.
But they only
okay.
Have,
quarters
are these 5 pointed stars or what?
Yeah, 5. Okay. 5.
5 pointed stars.
Give it
6 stars for those Jewish listeners.
7 for the mall security cop.
So I give it 2 stars. Maybe 2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair.
What about you, Mark?
Well, it surprised me, so I'll give it 3.
What about you, Kristen? What do you think about it?
We're saving the best for last or something?
thought it was really funny, actually. And I would probably give it a 3.5.
Okay, then.
No pun intended.
Maybe even a 4.
Just go all the way.
What was your favorite part? What was the funniest part to you in the movie?
I don't know if I have a favorite.
Well, this thing's pretty right now.
Funny all the way
through. I think it was pretty consistently funny all the way through. I agree.
The heroin scene?
There was no particular joke.
That was pretty funny. Man.
That was good.
I think his mom was one of the funniest parts.
Yeah.
That part probably bothered me the most. Between that and Anna Faris and the drooling vomit.
Gross.
Oh, and he was hitting that when he was
the date. When he was hitting that.
That was good.
With the date
rape. Yeah, was pretty good.
But, you know, it was really kind of bizarre because, I mean, she was consenting.
Oh, yeah, she woke up and consented partway through. Yeah.
The puke on the pillow?
Yeah.
That probably gets you off, you know, you just got to tape record that.
Well, they have a whole film to document it.
There you go.
I'm sure, yeah.
I'm sure he's safe.
You know what bothers me the most about Seth Rogen?
What's that?
He's younger than us.
Yeah, he's super young.
Oh, well, you know, he's better than you then.
He's 25.
Yeah. I guess so, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's rich.
You just gave away all our ages on international TV.
International TV.
This is Al Jazeera. This goes straight to Al Jazeera.
It's got a little screen on it.
Yeah, it goes straight to Al Jazeera.
Wouldn't that be crazy if people in Iran were listening to you?
Maybe they are.
And they could be.
It sparks the birth of freedom.
I got nothing wrong with the Iranian people are good people, I can tell.
They are good people.
it's their crazy dingbat leader.
Well, I mean, ultimately, that's kind of ridiculous. There's good people everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, what's your score?
Probably 4. Probably 4.
Okay. I bet they don't have a problem with flashers in Iran.
No, they probably don't.
They cut their dicks off.
Cut their hands in their dicks off.
I bet you they don't. I don't think castration's a punishment.
Whoa.
Death is like, you know, considered more merciful by far, I'm sure.
Definitely. Okay, well, there you go. We've kind of given it sort of a general take. I'd say Observe and Report is a different kind of experience. It does have some laughs as a comedy, but it's not a feel-good comedy by any means. So if you're feeling down and you want to see something that'll like pick up your spirits, it's probably not the kind of movie you want to see.
If you want to pick up your spirits, pick up a 12-pack of natural ice.
Yeah. Kill a 12-pack of natty ice and go in there, and you'll be loving it. And everyone else in the theater will love you for it, I'm sure.
What?
So, welcome to that. And,
welcome to Ian's world.
Welcome to my world.
Let's talk about that Lakers game last night, huh?
And if you want to check out Feudal Podcast, you can check it out and you can search on iTunes, write us a review, please, and send us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com. It's a good time, it's fun, whatever. We appreciate any kind of indication that people are listening to us.
Sounded so desperate.
It's not so much desperate.
Anything? Just something?
Yeah, anything, just something.
Somewhere,
please.
Somehow.
Please. Now the party's over, I'm so tired. Then I see you coming out of nowhere. Much communication in a motion. Without conversation or a notion. I had another bed as a headboard for a while.